May grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to us from God our Father, through His Son, our Lord, and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So everybody knows we're going to sing Happy Birthday for 2 months' worth after the service this morning. We've got April and May birthdays we haven't celebrated, so. Yeah, I know, Kirk reminded me. There's others beside you, Kirk, right? For the gospel text this morning for this fourth Sunday of Easter, it's found in the Gospel of John in chapter 10, the story about the Good Shepherd, how Jesus characterizes himself as the Good Shepherd. And in chapter 10, we'll read actually verses 1 through 16 for our meditation this morning, the following in the name of the Lord. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that enters not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that enters in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter opens, and the shepherd hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he puts forth his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, and they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they did not understand what things they were which he spoke unto them. Then said Jesus to them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep do not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out, and find pasture. The thief comes not but to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, sees the wolf coming, leaves the sheep, and flees. And the wolf catches them and scatters the sheep. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knows me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. They shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Amen. So up to now, we've been considering the post-resurrection appearances of the Lord to his disciples. The credibility that is established by those resurrection appearances to point to the reality that he came back from the dead. I was reading a commentary from an author named Morrow, an apologist, and he said, you know, the best credibility established on the forgiveness of sins actually was with the Apostle Paul, because as he traveled on the road to Damascus, he was enlightened, or blinded actually, by the light. He was then taken from, or led to Ananias's house, or to a house in Damascus, where Ananias came and spoke to him the gospel that established the forgiveness of his sins, that gave to him the ability to see not only physically but spiritually, that empowered him to bring the gospel, as we read last verse of this text, to all the world, or to those who are not of the immediate sheepfold that was established within the Hebrew nation. And so we have this ninth discourse that Jesus gives to his disciples, where Jesus is characterizing himself. I am the good shepherd. What are well-known occupations to us today? Well, I would venture to say that not many of us know any shepherds. We might have seen them on the hillsides as we travel through our country, or watched them take care of the sheep in the pastures of this area before it became a bedroom community to Phoenix. But a shepherd was a well-known occupation of that time. Fishermen? Sure, there were many fishermen of that time. We probably know more about fishermen today than we know about shepherds. And so commentaries have been written regarding the characterization, or the character of shepherds. Character of the shepherd, the character of the sheep. And Jesus is providing for us a a synopsis or a picture for us of what the responsibilities were of the shepherd and of the behavior and the characterization of the sheep. And so I think there's a need for us as believers today to understand the relationship to the Lord that is established in this shepherd-to-sheep relationship. So go back for a moment to the Old Testament. God was called what? The Shepherd of Israel. The one who was leading Israel, providing and establishing this nation, that the Messiah, Jesus Christ, Christ means Messiah, the Messiah would come. And to maintain this relationship between the nation of Israel and God the Father. You see, the relationship is really between Christ and the church, of which we are a part. Now, we like to think of it on an individual or a more close relationship that we have with God through Jesus Christ the Son. True. Not going to discount that. But Jesus came to save the church. And we are the church. The body of believers is the church. And so the shepherd of Israel pointed out God's chosen people in Abraham. Abraham was called out of what is present-day Kuwait, right on the Gulf there, to follow the teachings and the designated path that the Lord was to establish. And the shepherd of Israel was to lead him. He was willing to follow. We all have a degree of independence. We should. That's part of maturing, becoming an adult, that we'd establish our own way of thinking, our own life and lifestyle, and our own perspective. But the shepherd of Israel was intending for the people of Israel to follow his guidance in establishing the nation of Israel, upon which the good shepherd, the capital S, would then come. Shepherd in Old Testament times was viewed as a royal caretaker, the one who would care for, the one who would lead, the one who would nurture. 23rd Psalm. A couple Sundays ago we saw, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, in the plaque that was made. Need to remember that relationship that the Psalms establish, pointing out the good shepherd, leading his sheep to good pastures, providing water, providing sustenance, providing care. Close relationship, nurture and feeding. There's a given responsibility for leaders inferred here, in contrast to the thief and the robber. Nobody's going to announce when they're going to break into our house, are they? We see on the evening news the negative things when somebody comes to take that which does not belong, or we hear of break-ins within the community or elsewhere. They climb in ways that is not knocking at the door and opening the door. Breaking a window, perhaps. Kicking open a door, perhaps. I say unto you that he that enters not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbs up some other way, he is characterized, he is a thief and a robber. But he that enters in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Shepherd of the sheep. So what's the responsibility or the purpose for the door? Well, for one, the door keeps the sheep in, away from harm, especially at night. We look at Old Testament shepherds and we read of what David did as a shepherd before he became king of Israel. He was responsible for caring for his father Jesse's herd of sheep or group of sheep. Protecting them at night. That's when the shepherd has to be the most vigilant. A flock of sheep. It wasn't a herd. Flock of sheep. Protecting them at night, keeping them from harm, because that's when the greatest harm can befall. During the day, the enemy or the ones that would want to do harm to the sheep do not come around. But under the cover of darkness, the thief and the robber that we just read about, the lions and the bears or whatever might, in our case in Arizona, coyotes would come and want to take sheep, and wolves today, I suppose, as well, out of the flock. In the Old Testament, there were the shepherds that failed to respect and to carry out God's designated plan They became very concerned for their own well-being, their own acquisition, their own position. And so when Jesus overturned the money changers in the temple before he went to the cross, that was the epitome of the negative that was transpiring as they sought to line their own pockets rather than to care and to honor God's teachings to them and responsibility. So what were sheepfolds like? We can see some remnants of them in Europe or in the Middle East. In England, they put up hedges, you know, to keep out the ones that would want to cause the sheep harm or to take one out. They made them out of rock a lot of times. Rock was probably the best. Rock walls. Only one entrance. Purpose to control access. And where do you think a shepherd stationed himself? Probably at that door. Maybe walk the perimeter. Much like a sentry would in military camps, they established a perimeter. When the migration took place from St. Louis to the west, what did the wagon trains do? They formed a circle, established guards, the animals inside, the people inside. That provided a perimeter against those who would want to cause the wagon train harm. Native Americans of that time, or perhaps even bear, grizzly, whatever, might see there's an opportunity to cause harm. And so these rock walls had one entrance. The Good Shepherd stations himself at the door. Keep danger out, keep the sheep in, provide for protection. A guardian. A guardian is, we would want to be guardians for children, for grandchildren, for those who are young. Keep them from harm. Crossing the street, what do? We hold their hands. Walking through the store, what do? We're to hold their hands. Make sure they keep from harm. The thief, what do? How would they choose to come into the sheepfold? Well, in the case of human beings, they climb over the wall or try to climb over the wall. Thus, you have to establish a perimeter to provide for protection. Or to break in, stealth, to steal, to cause damage, to destroy. But he that enters in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter opens. The sheep hear his name. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. This establishes there's somebody secondary there. The porter opens. Make sure that it's the good shepherd. The good shepherd comes in and ministers to the sheep, cares for the sheep. When I was growing up, there were a lot of, or many flocks in the Clatskanie area that were established and where they, you know, would shear the sheep, would then take care of the sheep's needs, would minister to them, would provide for the care and feeding of their flock. This porter opens. The sheep hear his name. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. So the capital S shepherd, they're small S shepherd. Pastors are often called shepherds of flocks because we're responsible, and pastors are responsible to the good shepherd, the ultimate good shepherd. To provide for what? Proper teaching. To administer the sacraments. To care for the needs. All of us have the responsibility of ministry to each other. The shepherd knows the sheep by name. The intimacy that is established in the knowledge of the name. We know each other by name this morning, don't we? The good shepherd knows us by name. We have given names. We call out someone's name, they respond to that name. The good shepherd goes out, the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. We know his voice. Well, this is established further on in the first appearance after the resurrection. Maybe that's why this text is often used or given in the lectionary as one of the Sundays of Easter. hear his voice. Remember, Mary Magdalene didn't recognize Jesus Christ by sight. She thought he was what? The gardener. But then what he said, her name, she recognized his voice. We hear that voice, that still small voice, even as Elijah did when he stood at the mouth of the cave and heard that still small voice. The voice of the Lord wasn't found in the wind. It wasn't found in the earthquake. It wasn't found in the elements. It was found in the still small voice. And the still small voice intends to speak to us as we go through situations in life. Back off for a moment in our quiet time and listen for that still small voice that points out to us how we are to cope, how we are to deal with, how we are to transition, how we are to face the current realities of life. And so he puts forth his own sheep. He goes before them. The sheep follow him, for they know his voice. It's a beautiful picture. Oftentimes we see it in the artistic renditions that have been created over the years of the shepherd with the sheep following behind. Years ago, when we first built this church or remodeled to create this church, there were a number of sheep where Finley Farms currently is. And you could watch them as they huddled together. They were fenced in, so there wasn't a shepherd there to provide for their protection. And oftentimes, or not oftentimes, but periodically, we'd see this lonely coyote wandering across the field. Sheep would all bunch together, knowing that there is potential harm. I don't ever recall seeing a coyote try to go for one of the sheep, but if there had been one at the distance, perhaps even a lamb, opportunity presents itself, and harm might be caused by that encounter. A stranger will they not follow, will flee from him, for they know not the voice of the stranger. Here's a contrast. The good shepherd brings forth his sheep. The sheep follow him, they know his voice. Somebody that is not the shepherd of that group, of that flock of sheep, they will flee from him, they know not the voice of the stranger. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spoke to them. You realize this is the last parable before the incident with Lazarus and Mary and Martha, before the entrance into the week of transition, Holy Week. And so they're probably mulling over this picture that he's presenting to them. With the benefit of the artistic renditions, the calendars, I can remember seeing the calendars in my childhood where it showed different depictions of Jesus as the good shepherd, Jesus leading the sheep, the crooked neck staff that was used to pull sheep back from going in harm. And so sheep respond to their master. Sheepfold is keeping sheep in, keeping harm out. The shepherd is at the door, but then when the shepherd leads them out, because if they're staying within the sheepfold, there's not much forage for the sheep at that point. So he has to lead them into the pasture where they know, as the song tells us, the feeding is best. The feeding is best. They respond to the master. He knows them by name. They follow the shepherd willingly. Following the shepherd willingly, that's us. We willingly follow and listen for the voice of the good shepherd, and this following infers obedience to the shepherd's voice, to that still small voice, to the voice of reason. The Lord's never going to ask something of us that is unreasonable. Life's going to present things that oftentimes seem unreasonable. We've all gone through those situations at one time or another, various levels or another. But the Lord's not going to ask anything of us that is unreasonable. And you know, the sheep aren't driven. They follow willingly. You know, you talk about cattle drives, that's a whole different story. The cattle are driven. The sheep follow willingly. Because there's this calmness in the relationship. A calmness, not an agitated relationship. It's a calmness as we follow. Because we know he has our best in mind. He wants to provide for us. He wants to lead us to good waters and to clear waters and to good pastures. And thus we heed his voice. We pay attention to what he would want us to do in this nurturing relationship. Stranger danger. Flee danger. Flee the sound and the sight of sin. That's where danger lurks. In the world, in the old man, in the things this world would want to present to us. And so Jesus explains this parable to his disciples, and he did a couple times, from verse 7 on. I am the door of the sheep, shepherd, or of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers. Sheep do not hear them. There was confusion in that time. As the followers, as he spoke on the Sermon on the Mount or the Sermon on the Plain, very different from what they heard oftentimes from those that would expound the Pentateuch and the teachings of the Old Testament. And he tells them that they are thieves and robbers, the sheep do not hear them, but I am the door. So he got the I am the good shepherd, and I am the door, two of his I am, seven I am statements of the Gospel of John are right here in this chapter. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. So they're out for the day, led to where there's clear waters, led to where there's good forage and good pasture, led to where there is places to lay down in a pasture and enjoy their time out. But then night comes, and if the shepherd and the sheepdog, as they might be, is unable to provide, they bring them back into the sheepfold, as they did in the times of the Lord. Oftentimes it was right adjacent to the town. They'd have several of these sheepfolds that the different shepherds would bring their flocks in. Sheep from flock A would not go into sheepfold of flock B. They knew their shepherd's voice. They knew where they had to be obedient and to follow and to provide for protection. And so I am the door. The picture of the door where Jesus knocks to ask for admission. He shall be saved by entering in and shall go in and out and find pasture. The ability to come and go. But to, under the direction and the guidance of the good shepherd. The contrast to that, in verse 10, the thief comes not, but to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. To have life and have it more abundantly. The American Standard Translation does not have the word abundantly. But that infers that we receive everything that we need to transition and make it successfully through this journey of faith. The objective isn't to fall off along the way or to not make it across the goal. The goal, the objective, as Paul wrote to Timothy, is to be successful in the race. Be successful in the race. Some of the positives you read of someone who is running a race or competing in some endeavor where they might fall or stumble in the final home stretch, there are those around that pick them up, help carry them across the finish line or to reach the goal. What a picture of Christian charity and Christian community that should give to us, of how we are here responsible for each other to be successful in the objective of reaching the goal. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives or lays down his life for the sheep. Reinforcing this situation that was to shortly transpire, where the good shepherd, Jesus Christ, I am, gives, lays down his life for the sheep. John remembers this as he puts together this gospel. Credibility is established in early recall. And read about the writings of the scripture that we have in front of us, the gospels and the writings of the epistles and the acts of the apostles, that was established early. It wasn't several generations down the road. It's first-hand knowledge and first-hand witness. And John's given the inspiration to to put in Scripture what he heard Jesus teach his disciples and what he spoke about being the good shepherd and how he would lay down his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, sees the wolf coming, leaves the sheep, flees, the wolf catches them and scatters the sheep. There's ownership. For those that have had their own business know that the responsibility ultimately lies within their own responsibility. Somebody that's hired doesn't have the investment, doesn't have the concern, isn't ultimately worried about the welfare of the sheep, the hireling, whose own the sheep are not. This is not the shepherd, verse 12. Sees harm coming, in this case the wolf is the example, is concerned for one's own wellness, leaves the sheep, runs away, the wolf catches them, kills perhaps some of them, removes them from the flock, the rest scatter. The sheep scatter. And then the hireling leaves because he is a hireling, doesn't care for the sheep, but I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. So this shows this two-way knowledge. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and am known by mine, by my sheep who know me. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. So here he comes reinforcing verse 11. Verse 11 and 15, oftentimes you'll see the Lord, when he teaches, he does that. He'll make a statement and then reinforce it by stating it again in another verse or another conversation or other statement. And so as the Father knows me, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. That was his ultimate mission and responsibility to come and to do. And then verse 16, which is kind of coming back to where we started with this, my comment about the Apostle Paul. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. The fold that he is addressing immediately or presently are the Jewish people, the people of Israel, that he was calling, but he also is reflecting that other sheep I have which are not of this fold. That the Apostle Paul was given the directive, was given the commitment, was given the mission to bring the gospel to all of the known lands of that time, Asia Minor in particular, Ephesus, Colossae, Thessalonica, Corinth, Rome, all these places that the Apostle Paul traveled after his conversion, after his reception of the gospel, the forgiveness of his sins, the spiritual eyesight as well as physical eyesight he received, and them also must I bring. Notice Paul is but an instrument. You know, the potter's clay that we sang of. Okay, Paul was the one who was molded to bring the word and the gospel to these other sheep that I have which are not of this fold, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. So it doesn't say there's going to be multiple folds and multiple shepherds. There's one church defined by the Lord, not defined by us. Ellie, you want to come and see me? That's okay. Almost done anyway. There shall be one fold and one shepherd. We think of denominational lines. That's just the way it is in our time and our generation. The early church, there wasn't that. As we read up from Acts chapter 2, they kept things in common. They functioned very differently. But we're in 2017. The world is what it is. We're not going to change that. But we need to recognize there is this church universal that God alone can define and recognize his sheep. And he is the good shepherd. And we are to hear his voice in our lives today and follow him. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, this morning as we depart, we ask your presence on us, upon us, as we consider the responsibilities that we have to the Good Shepherd, how we are to listen for his voice, how we are to heed his direction and his directives, how we are to follow him in our lives today. We pray for the many needs that there are, the situations that people are confronted by, that we are to understand the teachings of the Good Shepherd, how we are to be the voice of reason and reasonability in our time and in our world. Now unto him was able to do exceedingly abundant of all that we ask or think, unto him be glory in the church, by Jesus Christ, world without end.